there are a number of different MOs that they employ, but two of the most common ones that we find are people call the victims, purporting to be police officers, often from London, sometimes working for a fraud squad, and they ask the victim to call them back, and they don't put the phone down. So the victim thinks that they are ringing somebody else or a different number, but because the line has never been closed, they're just getting straight back through to the people that they've been talking to. Sometimes the offenders will claim to be from a bank rather than from the police, and they tell the people that they've been a victim of a fraud, and they make arrangements to collect their cards or sometimes to collect cash from them. So there are a number of variations on the same theme, really.
And it seems to be that it is older and vulnerable people who are at risk of this more.
Yeah, they are successfully identifying elderly people, and they do tend to concentrate their offending on an area. So somehow they're identifying, say, elderly people in the Christchurch area and bombarding that area and committing a number of offences there before then moving on to a different area.
So I guess then there's a message to go out to people who are potentially victims, but also to friends and family and perhaps neighbours of people who may be vulnerable.
Yeah, that's right. People really do need to err on the side of caution and assume that any caller to you, whether they purport to be from a bank or from the police, and until you're satisfied otherwise, you have to work on the assumption that somebody is trying to defraud you. And really, be careful. Do ask a lot of questions. Phone them back on another phone line if you can, so they can't just speak to you on the same open line. But really, if in doubt, call us. Call your local police on 101 and discuss it with us before entering into any agreements with them at all.
And let's get this right. I mean, if it is your bank or the police who are phoning you, they won't mind you asking a load of questions.
Of course, we positively encourage it. Absolutely, just be awkward. Don't just agree to things. Ask questions. Check with relatives or friends if you're unsure whether you think it's a scam or not. But it is rife, so really be careful.
I mean, it's not all bad news. It seems that the figures have fallen for this year.
The figures have dropped dramatically, actually. That's quite right. So something is going right, but it's still a very popular crime to commit. There is a lot of money to be made for minimum effort, really. So people do need to be very, very aware.
And just how traumatic can this be for a victim, both emotionally and, I suppose, literally in terms of, losing money?
Well, there are several aspects to it. One, people are losing very large sums of money. Some people, it's their life savings. It's also very embarrassing. I'm sure there are a lot of these type of matters that are never reported to us because people do feel silly. They don't need to feel silly. The offenders are very clever. They're very convincing. But people are often embarrassed to admit that they have been the victims of such a scam like this, so they don't tell people. So yeah, not only is it costly, it can be embarrassing as well.